Welcome to Life as a Patient Doctor. I'm your host, Stephanie Moss, navigating life as a patient and a future MD. Walk alongside me as I reflect on the challenges and lessons I've learned undergoing medical school with invisible disabilities. Join me as I interview other doctors, students, and healthcare workers on their own journeys. Listen to their unique stories on how they have balanced their health while caring for others in the health profession. So this is a part two of the what to consider before taking leave of absence from medical school. In this episode, we'll be talking all about residency and some final tips and suggestions that students who had leaves of absence recommended for other students who are considering leaves of absences in the future. So if you haven't checked out part one of this episode, make sure you do that so you understand what's other considerations and what different challenges that individuals who go on LOA have. So like I mentioned, I did a survey where I asked students anonymously who had taken a leave of absence, not just at my school, just in general. I posted this on social media and then also sent it to specific students that I knew, talking to them previously, that they had gone on an LOA. So in total, there were 17 students who responded. One of the questions I asked was, what fears did you have about taking a leave of absence? Here are the answers for that question. Not matching. Financial. Possible red flag on application to residency. I am incredibly close to my classmates, and I was afraid I wouldn't graduate without their support. Impact on matching into residency and lack of financial support. Financial, and if I could achieve academically. How I would pay for food, housing, healthcare without my student loans. Negative impact on residency application. A lot of these answers regarding fears before they took an LOA or right when they were going to take an LOA had to do with residency and finances and a little bit of academics. Next question. What fears do you have after taking an LOA? Not matching. None. Applying to residency programs and talking about an LOA. This is still an issue. Impact on matching into residency. Step one and residency apps. Being able to match into residency because of the LOA red flag. Same reasons, but also that I start to feel a little indifference and freedom being back out in the medical field. So again, similar fears all about like how they're going to talk about leaves of absences. And I hope to talk about that in a little bit. Last question. What are some things you wish you knew before taking a leave of absence? Some of the answers, they said, you will feel behind since your class will be ahead. I feel that a lot because my husband had to continue on with his medical school journey. So it was really hard to watch him keep going through residency applications, getting matched, graduating medical school, all these very positive, amazing emotions. It was, even though I love him and I was so inspired by him, it was really painful to watch him. And also my best friend also kept going through medical school. She didn't take an LOA. So I was watching her graduate, just watching all my class graduate and me being behind was very difficult. Other answers, how alone I would feel and the stigma around it. Financial aid challenges and having to pay back to the school for loans I had already taken out and used. More information on how LOA would impact my future career, especially the perception of an LOA by residency programs. Understand how to navigate financial issues with discontinued loans. And last one, I unfortunately was caught in more financial struggle than I imagined, and my school was going through a curriculum change that made me have to start third year later than I thought. So a lot of these things, again, wish they knew about how financially challenging it would and just the stigma. And so that's exactly why I'm here to talk about my journey and talk about some of the things I've learned through my own experience going through LOA and now applying to residency. at my current point right now, it is December, Christmas tree. I have completed the majority of all my residencies. I was very thankful and honored to have received many residency interview invitations, even though I had a lot of these red flags, like an LOA, like failing staff, like having a healthcare disability. And I am here right now, even though I haven't had match yet. But I feel confident in the fact that I will match. Now, knock on wood, I understand the process that it's still a possibility I won't match, but I feel like I can use my time right now given during fourth year to really help other individuals who are struggling throughout this process, or even current third year medical students who are planning to apply for the upcoming year and things they need to consider. So talking about residency applications, I started off a year ago. I wanted to make sure I had all like information that I could gain. I talked with a lot of different attendings, residents, their previous students who had previous LOA and then were applying, kind of what they talked about, like how to proceed. And one of the biggest things that I got out of it is that it happens. Yes, some residency programs will filter you out just automatically because they only look, since there's thousands of people who apply, they might originally just set looking at students who have only completed in 4 years. And if you take an LOA, it's going to be longer than 4 years. Now, I want to say that doesn't happen all the time. And I'm not a program director myself, so I can't speak on the 100% validity. This is just things that I was told by some residency directors and previous directors, kind of how they filtered through the applicants. Some told me that they're okay with the LOA. However, they want to hear why, and they want to make sure that you have a good story and that you learn something from it. And it doesn't matter if it was because of staff, because of personal reasons, because of health conditions, as long as you're able to talk about it in a positive light and what you learned from it, that's what's important. So going to how you put an LOA into the online application system. So the online application system, which is called ERAS, there is actually a box, at least in the 2023 year, that says, was your medical education / training extended or interrupted? And it had 510 characters. So you had to be really short and sweet and include your specific facts. Why? Now, there are other places that you can really get into it. Maybe you want to do in your personal statement. If that is something you want to do, maybe you want to talk about it in one of your activities. But specifically, why? Right there. For me, what I ended up doing, I making sure I wasn't saying the same thing twice, but answering still the question. So like I said, I had health conditions that were exacerbated. So I took the LOA during this time. Or I think I just stopped at that. And then during, there's another box which tells about like any adversities, or it actually specifically says impactful experiences. That was a bit bigger. That says a 750 character limit. And that I included more things that happened that were impactful during my LOA, because my LOA was very impactful. But this one, I didn't talk about why I had LOA. I talked about more what came out and what happened during the LOA. For example, I had a lot of financial challenges. I struggled with being able to pay rent, being able to pay for food, being able to find a job, all also studying for STEP. So I talked a lot about that. I also talked about different marginalized identities I had. And I think that was it. For my personal statement, I personally decided not to include anything about my leave of absence because I feel like I had already stated it enough in the other boxes that I really want to focus about my individual journey in addition to LOA. So LOA was just one aspect, one little thing of my journey. I have 8-10 plus years of other things that led me to be the person and future doctor. So I talked about that in my personal statement. Probably once I match, I'll actually publish my personal statement and more of my application so I can really like talk about what worked, what didn't, things like that. Another thing that I thought is important to include somewhere, whether if that was in the impactful experiences or in specifically the LOAs, extended education spot, make sure you include one or two sentences on how this experience will be meaningful for you or provide you some sort of growth or strength, which will help you in your future career as a physician. So for example, I talked about how being in a low income bracket, getting food stamps, getting on Medicaid, helped me appreciate individuals who have to do that throughout their entire life, who their daily struggle is to figure out what they're going to eat in the next meal or be fearful of if they have enough money to make rent this month. And it provided me a lot of empathy and more understanding of all the social disparities that individuals go through and how much as a future doctor, I really want to really appreciate those challenges that my patients may face and be able to work with them, maybe connect them with a social worker that has those resources and be more understanding of where they are in life and the different mental and physical health challenges they're going to that might be from having all these social determinants of health, which are additional struggles in their life that are making them more stressed, more unable to eat healthy food, unable to exercise because they're so stressed of just living, of existing in life. I was recently talking to a physician who was talking about the hierarchy of needs and Maslow's hierarchy of needs. This is going back to psychology or psychiatry. On the very bottom of the hierarchy of needs is stuff like food, safety, housing. Then the higher ones are actually relationships, being able to educate, being able to be more self-aware, being able to be more compassionate to yourself. And I kind of connect it back to when we're in education. If we're struggling to meet our very basic needs in a leave of absence, it's really hard to be able to then study for SEP or be able to address our mental health. We first have to make sure our basic needs are cared for. So going back, when I was talking about these challenges that I personally experienced when I was writing the application, I kind of used that. And I also, I'll talk about this for interviewing. I said similar type things of just the appreciation and understanding of how trauma and pain can impact how and how successful an individual is. From my personal experience, since I wasn't able to get safety, food, and housing, I wasn't able to effectively study for my step one exam and then failed. So only when I was able to meet those basic needs at the very end of my LOA was I able to actually pass step one. So that's a little bit about my journey. You can learn more at other podcast episodes or on medpsychmoss.com. There is a blog post that says how not to fail step. And I explain a little bit more about, they're actually called educational hierarchy of needs. So going to just residency interviews. A lot of the students were very fearful, including myself, of whether the leave of absence would be an automatic, no, we don't want to interview. However, interestingly, from my own experience and for a couple other students that I've talked to who also did an LOA, they've been receiving interviews. So I think it really talks about that shouldn't be your biggest fear. And you should more focus on making sure you have something to talk about, how to talk about it effectively, and also just making sure your entire application is holistic and everything else is in good shape and that you can explain why you want to be a physician. If research is important for that specific specialty, you have your research, you have your extracurriculars, but if that's volunteering, leadership, just show that you do more than just sit down and study. You want to really show that you're going to be a holistic physician and future resident. However, I do want to say I did receive rejections and that was part of it. That's how, unfortunately, it works. And I'm okay with that because in order to keep going, you can't always have 100% positive responses. There all be some negatives, but I need to focus on there are locations that see me as a person and see my own application holistically. So those are the programs that I was excited to then talk to. Next, interviewing. Interestingly, rarely have I been like specifically asked, why did I take Alloway? Maybe it's because I did a good job explaining it, maybe not. However, I did receive just a lot of themes regarding LOA, more like, how did STEP go? Or tell me about STEP, or tell me about your medical journey and challenges you had, or things like that. And so it gave me time to bring up LOA because I knew they'd learn eventually about it and just tell my personal truth and my story. So different specialties of all the individuals who I've talked to, including myself, who have received interviews, and we know that specialties are more willing to take students who are on leave of absence. That includes psychiatry, family medicine, and neurology. Now, of course, I'm sure there's other specialties. I just haven't heard about them yet, so I hope that through this podcast, I can hear more. So let me know if you did take a leave of absence and you matched into another specialty. I would love to add it to the list so we know that that specialty is a great opportunity for individuals who have that on their application. And that is it. Like I said, this was the part two. So go back to the part one of things to consider before taking a leave of absence. This is the blog post. And I specifically wanted to talk about residencies, what it looked like, how I've responded to questions. If there's anything I've forgotten or what you want to learn more about, please comment below or send me a message at medpsychmoss@gmail.com. I would love to hear about your experience, how my story can be better fit and better help for you. So tell me how I can be more help. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast right now. If you know any other individual who might benefit from any of these episodes, please hit share to at least one individual that can help. That's how we share the word. That's how we overcome bias and break down barriers together. So thank you so much. You can listen to at anywhere you listen to your podcasts. You can follow me on social media, MedPsychMoss. You can look at my website for more resources on things that I found successful, both as a patient and as a future doctor. And I hope to see you next episode. Take care, everyone.